Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You may have seen my face on the news. You may have heard that I'm missing, that my car was found abandoned on 5th Street, and that nobody has heard from me since. Police may have tried to trace my phone, but I doubt they would find any useful data. I don't know where I am, but I'm sure it is far beyond the scope of the authorities. I've been an urban explorer for years. For those not in the know, that's a fancy term for someone who breaks into old buildings for fun. There's just something about standing in a place that is abandoned, somewhere that hasn't been lived in for years, which fascinates me. There is a subtle uncanniness to it. Something just ever so slightly off about being in a place that was meant to be used, but has been abandoned for a long time. I've explored old sanitariums, hospitals, schools, malls, and a handful of stores. I tend to avoid houses and apartment buildings, since those are usually more likely to have nosy neighbors call the cops. But when I saw the house on 5th Street, I couldn't help myself. The building itself looked old, with a gothic style like something out of an old ghost story. It seemed to fit in the middle grounds between mansion and house, barely fitting in the space between the buildings next to it. It looked completely abandoned, with all the windows boarded up, the lawn completely dead, and a sign with the word foreclosed stuck to one of the walls. It wasn't so much how the house itself looked, and more the fact that it wasn't there the day before. It sounds impossible, right? But it's true. I've never noticed it before, so I looked up the property on the web, using Street View on an online map site to take a look. It wasn't there. It's not like there was an empty lot or a different house. It's like it just sprang up overnight, pushing other houses out of the way. I had no idea how it even fit there. It's not like the street was suddenly longer or a house was missing. It was as if it had always been there, regardless of how impossible that was. At first, I was fairly hesitant to enter the building. It was in a residential area, for one thing, and also it was fundamentally an impossibility. Was there some kind of cover-up for this building? I was half expecting there to be some top-secret government lab hidden underneath it, all the records of its existence erased from satellite data, city records, and online databases. But I had to know. It would eat away at me for the rest of my life if I didn't at least look into it. On the next day, I headed off from work. I packed up my gear and got ready to enter the house. I decided to go at night, figuring that the less people were awake, the better. I packed a flashlight, spare batteries, a water bottle, some pepper spray, my cell phone, and a first aid kit. I had no idea what to expect, so I decided to go as prepared as I could. When I arrived at the house on 5th Street, I had this really weird feeling, like I was standing on the surface of another planet. It felt wrong, as if I was a magnet being pushed against another magnet of the same polarity. I tried to shrug it off, to tell myself I was just nervous, and I walked up to the front door. I expected it to be locked, that I'd need to go around the back and see if there was a back way in, but to my surprise, the door pushed open. I didn't even need to twist the doorknob. In fact, when I did, it didn't budge. A closer glance made me realize that the knob itself had no mechanism. It didn't control a bolt. The door was simply closed via friction. The doorknob wasn't even made of metal. It was just a piece of wood painted metallic gold. I turned on my flashlight, stepping into the entryway of the house. I expected it to smell of mold and decay, but to my surprise, the scent it most closely reminded me of was that odor new cars have. I looked around, observing my surroundings. The inside was in surprisingly good condition, given the dilapidated appearance of the exterior. The walls were carved wood panels, and the floor seemed to be polished hard wood. A staircase led up to the second floor, and there were a few doors leading to the other part of the house. I figured it would be safer to try the first floor to begin with, and so I picked one of the doors at random and opened it. Like the front door, there was no mechanism to the doorknob. I couldn't twist it, just pulling it caused it to open. I wondered how nobody had broken into this place already, given that there was evidently no way to lock the front door. The room I entered seemed to be a dining area, with a number of wooden chairs arranged around a long table. At the far wall was a painting of a familiar-looking house. Inspecting it closer, I realized it was a less decayed version of the building I was currently standing in. It struck me as rather odd to have a painting of your own house hanging on the wall, but rich people can be a bit eccentric, so I didn't pay it too much mind. I was confused as to how well furnished everything was. Usually, people take most of the furniture when they leave, and what they don't want is left behind and quickly stolen or destroyed. I looked closer at one of the chairs, admiring the craftsmanship. I tried to pull it closer to me to get a better look, but it wouldn't budge. Confused, I knelt down next to it, trying to see what was keeping it held in place. To my surprise, I realized that the whole thing seemed like it was part of the floor itself, as if it was all carved from one solid piece of wood. I tried to find a seam or signs of glue, nails, anything to indicate the floor and the chair had originally been separate, but I couldn't. It looked almost as if it had grown out of the house itself. That feeling of magnetic repulsion came back again. This house felt wrong. If I was smarter, I would have turned and left right then and there, but I needed to know what the hell was going on. I proceeded further into the house, opening up another door that led out of the dining room. This one took me into what seemed to be a library. Bookshelves lined the walls, filled with volumes of all shapes and sizes, or so I thought. Moving closer to one of the shelves, I noticed that none of the books actually had titles on their spines. They were all just blank. I tried to pick one out, but I found it wouldn't budge. The books were part of the shelf itself, just like with the chairs in the dining room. "Who the hell built this place?" I muttered to myself, profoundly puzzled. Then, I heard the sound of wood creaking behind me. I wheeled around, startled, seeing a door slowly being pushed open. I shone my flashlight, trying to get a look at who was opening it. "Who's there?" I shouted, trying to control the fear in my voice. There was no response, and the door just continued to slowly creak as it opened ever wider. I reached for the pepper spray and got it ready, holding my flashlight in the other hand. Then, I saw what was coming through the doorway. It was human in general shape, but it seemed half.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Formed, artificial, like a mannequin carved from a lump of clay. It looked like it was wearing a suit of some kind, but even at a glance I could tell that its clothes were actually just part of its body. The thing had no face, just loose indentations and protrusions where features would appear on a human being. A small lump for a nose, a slight crease where a mouth should be, slight hollows for eye sockets. Bizarrely, its head inflated and deflated slightly as it moved, like the thing's lungs were kept in there. Its hands were just lumps with stubby thumbs sticking out, with no differentiated fingers and no nails. Shaking in fear, I aimed the pepper spray and pressed down on the nozzle, releasing a cloud of the fluid directly at its face. The thing didn't even flinch. It just started to stumble towards me clumsily, like a deer first learning to walk. I dropped the pepper spray and began to run, pushing through the door and sprinting back through the dining room. I rushed for the entryway, desperately trying to get out of the house, but when I got there, the door was gone. In its place was just a wall with a painting of a house on it. I tried to rip the painting off the wall, grasping at the frame, only to find that, like the books and the chairs, the painting was a part of the house itself, seemingly grown from the wall. I could hear more shuffling footsteps coming from behind me. Thinking quickly, I guessed that the thing might have some difficulty going upstairs, so I swiftly ran up to the second floor, taking two steps at a time. My heart was pounding, my face covered in sweat. I had no idea what was happening. The only thing I knew was that I had to survive. I had to escape this house. Once I reached the top of the stairs, I peered down, trying to catch a glimpse of the pursuer. I saw the half-formed monstrosity continue to shamble its way after me, pausing for a moment in front of the stairs. A glimmer of hope flared inside my chest. Perhaps this thing couldn't descend the stairs. It shuffled away, opening up a door and stepping through, closing it behind it. I sighed with relief, allowing myself to relax just a little. Then I heard a door creaking open from right behind me. It couldn't have caught up that quickly, could it? My lungs were starting to burn now. It felt like I had been fleeing for hours. The upper floor seemed to be nothing but endless corridors full of twists and turns and identical doors. As I continued my flight, the architecture seemed to break down. Doors would be installed sideways on the wall, paintings lying on the floor. At one point, I tried one of the doors again, only to find an exact duplicate of the library from before, with my faceless pursuer within, shuffling towards me. I was half tempted to just let it catch me, but the primal need to survive overpowered my urge to be free of the chase, and I shut the door instead, jogging as fast as I could. Once, I tried to jump through a window. Bright sunlight seemed to be emanating from it, despite the fact that it should have been the dead of the night. But as I slammed my shoulder into it, I fell backwards in pain. Touching the window with my hand, I found it was just more wood, simply emitting light, like the bioluminescence of a deep-sea fish. I almost wept with relief when I saw a staircase. It was a big, spiral one, with steps leading both up and down. My heart dropped when I got closer. Peering down, the staircase seemed to descend down forever, a bottomless pit. There was no other landings as far as I could see. Looking up, the staircase further ascended upwards into infinity. The creak of a door opening, followed by shuffled footsteps, emerged from behind me, and I quickly jerked around to see how far away my pursuer was. It was only about 15 feet behind me. I eyed the endless pit nervously as I backed up slowly, my back pressed against the wooden railing. The bizarre mockery of a human form stumbled towards me, its wrinkled skin barely approximating the appearance of a suit. Its head continued to pulsate slightly as it shuffled. I wondered how the thing could even notice where I was, given it had no visible sensory organs to speak of. With each pulse of its head, it inched closer towards me, its bobbly hands reaching up as if to strangle me. As it was only inches away from my throat, I quickly ducked down and moved around behind it, kicking the thing in the back as hard as I could. The thing was surprisingly heavy, but it only helped it to crash through the wooden railing and tumble down the endless stairwell. I peered over the edge and saw it flail slightly as it fell. Eventually, so far away, I couldn't even see it anymore. I hoped that would keep it off my trail, at least for a few hours. I felt unimaginably tired, and started trying some of the doors on the walls, eventually finding a real one that led into a bedroom. There was a 4-poster bed, some cabinets, and, of course, a painting of a house. I laid down on the bed, only to find that, like everything else in this house, it was simply a wooden replica. These seemingly comfortable blankets and pillows, rigid and cold. My thoughts raced as I tried to understand what was going on here. I began to fully process that this house was bigger on the inside than on the outside. The endless staircase was proof enough of that, as were the seemingly infinite hallways I had been running down. The layout itself could change, given that the door I initially entered from had vanished. I began to wonder if there truly would be any way to get out of this place. I didn't mean to fall asleep. I still didn't feel safe here, even without my pursuer. But fatigue set in against my will. I awoke to an uncomfortable sensation of pinching on my leg. I sat up, shining my flashlight, and almost shrieked with fear. The wooden imitation of the bed was starting to grow around me, expanding to cover me like an amoeba consuming prey. The wood was starting to tightly press against my legs, causing the discomfort which awoke me. I wrenched myself free, bruising my legs slightly with the effort, and left the room in a hurry. I continued to wander the empty hallways, periodically illuminated by the knot windows of luminescent wood. I started to look through my belongings, trying to think of anything that could help me. Reaching into the first aid kit, I found a pair of metal scissors, which gave me an idea. Approaching one of the knot windows, I gripped the scissors in my hand and started pounding it into the wood, using the point of the scissors like a chisel. I kept digging into it for several minutes, eventually getting a fairly sizable hole cut into the glowing panel. Finally, I felt the hard rigidity of the wood give way, and my scissors pierced something soft. Looking closer, I felt like I was going to vomit. Sticky, red liquid began to leak from the hole I had dug.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Could see pinkish flesh about 3 inches past what I had thought was wood. It wasn't wood at all. It was chitin. I was trapped inside of something alive. Knowing that I couldn't rest or I'd be absorbed into whatever this hellish mockery of a home was, I just started to aimlessly wander, trying to keep moving. The half-formed humanoid creature didn't come back. So I figured it must still be falling down that stairwell, unable to reach a door to step through and appear behind me. The deeper I went inside the house, the stranger it became. The horizontal doorways and paintings on the floor were just the beginning of this place's deterioration into incomprehensibility. Sometimes there would be a 6-way intersection with corridors going north, south, east, west, as well as up and down. The corridors just continued on as normal. Doors on the walls, glowing knot windows, the occasional rug, but at a 90-degree angle. I tossed one of the bandages from my first aid kit down one once, wondering if maybe gravity would be relative to the corridor's own floor. But it just fluttered down. Sometimes, opening up a door would lead to bizarre conglomerations of different rooms. Dining rooms with a bookshelf laying flat on the floor instead of a table. A sitting room whose walls seemed to be made of bedsheets. A bathroom with a fireplace instead of a sink. I passed a couple more endless stairwells, and at one point something fell down past me. I didn't get a good look at it. The thing must have been falling at terminal velocity, but I'd bet money it was the faceless thing that had been following me, still falling forever. There was no way of knowing how long I had been wandering when I found the backpack. My stomach cramped, my mouth felt dry, and I had long since drunk the last of my water. Every muscle in my body ached, and I felt like I hadn't slept in days. More than once, I had considered just lying down and accepting my fate, letting go peacefully rather than continuing on. As I rounded yet another corner, I saw something sticking halfway out of the floor, in the slow process of being absorbed into the architecture. It was red, made of some sort of fabric, and quickly I ran up to it and ripped it out of the floor, opening the zipper and rummaging inside it, searching desperately for supplies. Contained within was a sketchbook and some pencils, a couple granola bars, and a can of soda. I started to tear up with relief. It was only then that I noticed the hand sticking out of the floor, the faint outline of a human form visible through the knot wood. My relief turned to sickness as I retched, realizing that lying in front of me, slowly being absorbed into the floor, was another human being. There was no way I could have cut them out, no way I could get them free, and even if there was, their whole face was covered up by now. Was there even any way they could still be breathing? After running away with the backpack and its contents, I opened up the sketchbook and looked inside, eating one of the granola bars and greedily drinking the soda. The dates on the first page said 2022. I first entered the house in 2015. I have no idea how this is possible. I obviously haven't survived in here for 7 years. I haven't slept since I passed out in the bedroom, and I only recently was able to eat anything. But I have a theory, a vague idea as to what is going on. I've already established that this house is a living organism. The blood and flesh behind the fake wood proves that much. Clearly, this thing operates outside of the normal understanding of space as well. What with it being larger on the inside and possessing a seemingly infinite stairwell leading up and down forever. I think that this thing is an extra-dimensional predator. That's how it was able to suddenly appear in the street when there was no space for it. It just bent space around itself so it could fit, so it could lure in victims. It's not a perfect imitation. It can only seem to mimic wood. That's why everything in the house has the same texture, just different coloration. I think it lures people inside, sends one of those faceless things after them, and then absorbs the body to sustain itself. I'm not sure how an organism this large can survive just on the occasional urban explorer, but it's the only thing that makes sense. My guess is that it can travel through time as well as space. I bet that the house isn't there anymore in 2015. It must have vanished shortly after I walked inside. It must have appeared again in 2022 and got the poor bastard whose sketchbook I've been using to write this down. I've read somewhere that every year about 2,700 missing persons cases in the United States go unsolved. How many of them were taken by this thing? Does it just have to appear in the suburbs, or is anywhere fair game? Could it appear in the middle of the woods, waiting for lost hikers to wander in, looking for shelter? What's to stop it from just appearing at a door inside someone's house? Is it even limited to this planet, this universe? I'm going to tear out these pages of the sketchbook I've been writing in, crumple them up in a ball, and toss them down one of the infinite stairwells when I next find one. It's a slim chance, but maybe, just maybe, this will reach someone on the outside world. This thing has to have an excretory system, right? If you see a house matching the description I've given, don't go in it. It's not worth it. My name is Felicia Martinez, and the name I saw written in the sketchbook was Robert Doyle. Remember us.
The
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.